We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford Parker.
There you go.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. They will tell me something different, but, you know, I feel just pretty good most of the time. And trusting God for victory.
Amen.
And I'm in a waiting period in my life.
Okay.
And waiting is not easy.
And that's the truth.
But every one of us has a season where we're just looking at God's word and say, God, this is what your word says, but this is not my experience at the moment, but this is what your word says. So, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I remember I was waiting. I just heard some bad news about my brother. I'd heard he had knots come up on his head. And I joined a fellow friend, a lady friend, and we were praying, and I was praying for my brother. I didn't even tell her, but she was joining me. I could tell in the spirit and praying, and knew I got the victory. But what I asked the Lord was, Lord, this word that you have written, is it for me, or is it for somebody way in the past, or for somebody way in the future? But Lord, if this is for me, I won't take no for an answer, because this is for me. I claim it. And you know, those knots went down on my brother's head. He had some of them removed. They were just fatty tissue. They weren't anything to, you know. And now I have my own issues, but I'm waiting on God, you know. And either or, we win.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting on the Lord for him to fulfill his promises. And I'll tell you what, he's fulfilled a lot of them.
Amen.
He's done a lot of things for me in my past. And sometimes I think, as Brent preached recently, we need to stop and remember what the Lord's already done. Mm-hmm. Look what the song says. Look what the Lord has done.
That's what helps me in hard times. Whenever I start feeling feels that I don't want to feel.
Yes.
And whatever, I just thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. I thank you for all that you have done. And then I just sit there for a minute and I start rolling them in my mind and in my spirit, all the things that he's done for me and the things that he has spoke into my life.
Right.
And it just really, it gets you through some stuff, doesn't it?
Yes,
it
and that really is really, does. I think, an important thing to do. It's something I need to remember to do, because Brent, like I said, preached on this, like, remember what he's done. Mm-hmm. But the words he's given us, because I keep wanting a new word, and a new word is good, but you get it every day as you get into the word. The Bible says, I've written down scriptures here about this, about the word, because that's what I want to talk about today, is the word. But it's sharp. It's alive. And you sit down here, and it's a discerner of the thought and intent of our heart. Yes. So as we sit down and we begin to read, that's a lot. And that spoke to what the issue that's on my heart today. Well, how did this know, written 2,000 years ago, that today I would be sitting here and I would have this need? It's because God watches over his word. He watches over this word to perform it.
Amen.
And to see that it's done. My part is to get into it and let this word do a work in me. Because, you see, inherently, I am evil. Why am I evil? Because I'm a human. And we have our human nature there that is not godly. We have to learn how to bring this nature to the Lord and say, wash me, cleanse me. But as we come to this word, it washes us. It cleanses us. It does a number in our mind, and there's a scripture that I will make the crooked straight. And there's times, literally, stuff gets all crooked in our mind. Mm. You know what? The devil comes, and he adds to the pot. I don't give him any glory. He's a thief. He's a liar. Sometimes we think he's great, or we think he's an equal with Jesus. Some people believe he's a brother to Jesus. But let me tell you what. He is a defeated foe, because Jesus died on the cross, and then Jesus faced him face to face and finally said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve."
And with that, you know, he was an angel, and he was, if I remember correctly, like a worship leader in heaven.
Yeah.
And he became jealous of the praise and worship to God, and he, being a leader, became so jealous that he started covenant that worship, and he wanted that for himself.
Right.
And that is what caused the great
evil was found in him. And you know what? That was the very first iniquity that ever showed its existence was jealousy. And you know, it's something that we as humans have to be real careful about, because jealousy is no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. And I mean, scripture don't say that, but it is cruel.
Yes.
And you find somebody that's really cruel about something, if you hunt down to the bottom of it, a lot of time it's jealousy.
Yeah.
They're jealous of someone. And that makes me want to go to the political scene. I know there's probably a lot more than jealousy going on there, but I feel so sorry. We really need to pray for the man, Mr. Trump. Not saying who should be what. I'm just saying, when you're so attacked, so unfairly attacked, we just really need to hold up that man. I'm wondering that, I say, he's not having a nervous breakdown, you know. My opinion, he was a wealthy man having a good time in life, it looked like, you know what I mean, and turned around and tried to help America and got in all kinds of trouble, and I don't know where that came from, but anyway. I'm sorry, we didn't even pray
that's
yet.
Okay. Let me finish the intro.
Okay.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments, and you can send it in a private message. We will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you are tuned in today. I got you. We got it. Would you pray to start us out, Sister Judy?
Yes, I think I started out first.
It's okay.
I overjumped. It's like the rodeo. The cow jumps over the, it's over the chute, fence, whatever.
Somebody needed to hear it.
Okay. Father, we come today, and as I've already told you this morning, I am nothing, and you are everything, Lord. I'm just clay, and Father, today I pray that the crooked will be made straight. I ask for cleansing and washing of your word in my own mind and heart and soul, that I might be humble before you, that I might be a vessel today, easily used by your spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that you would teach us how to stand strong in the Lord, and how, O Lord Jesus, to put down the wiles of the enemy. For you tell us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And God, I ask you to help us to do that, to put on the armor of God, to know how to stand. To stand, Lord Jesus, with joy and peace and contentment, that we can rub, O Lord Jesus, the step on the devil's face and rub the dirt in his face, Lord, knowing, O God, who is the victor. You won, Lord, at the cross. And because you won, I won. Because you're a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror, Lord. And I give you praise today. Bless us in this room. Bless Monica and Tina. Bless me, God, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to convey what needs to be said, that the hearer might be blessed, that whoever's listening might be uplifted, that your word will be glorified and people will be edified and we will be satisfied. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title this morning, God's Word.
God's Word.
It is forever.
Forever. Settled in heaven, the Bible says.
And I love that, because I know growing up, and even still today, He will give me words. And it's my responsibility to take those words and pull them to me. And hold on to them with my whole heart, and not let go. Like a pit bull with a bone, if you will.
Right. Well, he says some people, he judged them for casting his words behind their back. They didn't listen. They were told. They were told what God's word, but they didn't pay attention. Israel was told. Israel wasn't only told, they were shown. They were there in Egypt, and they saw the miracles that God did. And yet, every time they met an obstacle, they went to Moses, like, you brought us out here to die. And, you know, they were hungry, and they were thirsty. And I guess that's what gets to us mostly is our physical needs, our needs. Well, our eyes are upon us. They had passed through the Red Sea. They had walked on sand in the middle of the ocean. And they had gone through a million, however many million. I mean, they had grown from that 35, 75, however many there were that went down into Egypt. And they had grown in 300 years to millions of people. They had cattle. And what I loved about that story was Aaron tells it this way. God paid them back for the years that they had been a slave. And they had been, I mean, those guys, they beat them. They beat them when they said, you make brick. And when Moses came along, it got worse. They said, you make brick, and we're not even going to gather the straw for you. You go out and gather the straw, and then you make the same amount of brick that you did before. And then when they couldn't do it, then they'd beat them. And those people went to Moses and said, it's gotten worse for us since you're here. And Moses went to the Lord and said, what are you doing to these people? Well, what he was doing was getting them ready to get out of there so they'd get discontent. They were ready, getting ready to travel. And then he said, go and borrow. Go borrow from the Egyptians. And so they went. They left out of there wealthy people. They left with cattle. They left with gold. They left with silver. They left with cloth. They left with beautiful garments. They left with everybody having a pair of shoes on their feet that fit right. They left wealthy because they spoiled, the scripture says, the Egyptians. And what happened is God opened those Egyptians' heart. I just imagine they gave them everything they asked for, everything they needed, and then they took out at night and they took all of that with them. Can we borrow this? Can we borrow flour? Can we borrow this and that? And they were loaded down. Mm-hmm. They had their animals loaded because they're on a journey. And remember how they would bring things to the temple? Where'd they get those things? In the wilderness, they set up a temple. They'd set a temple up, and they didn't move till that cloud moved. There was a cloud by day, a fire by night, and as it sat there, the people sat there, and they set up the tabernacle, and where'd all that stuff come from all of that? They got it from the Egyptians, and God paid them back. Don't think when you're suffering and you're walking through some kind of suffering or you're giving up or if God asks you to give something, don't think he's not going to pay you back double for what you do because he will. He'll turn around and he'll give to you. He may test you and see, Monica, will you give such and such? Oh, Lord, I can't give that. It's kind of like Sister Lambert. I think I've told this before, but she was it was back in the day, say in the 50s, somewhere in there. She had $3 in her purse. Now, $3 was more than it is today, and it went further than it did today. But the Lord spoke to her to give those $3. It was a Monday morning. It was a fellowship meeting, and they were taking a missions offering, and the Lord said, give your $3. And she said, I would really need to ask my husband. You know, I mean, this is all the money we have for all week. And so she let the plate pass, and she didn't give it. And so they got up there in a few minutes. They went and counted the offering, and they came and said, we need $3 more. She said, I have it. And she gave that $3. When they got home, there was a $50 check in the mail from a woman in California that they had never met. And as long as they were at that church, every month she sent them that $50. They got that $50. And she wrote an article about it and put it in one of the magazines, the Assembly of God magazines, $3 and the Haggling Heart. And you know what? When God asks you for something, know that he's got something in mind he wants to give you. But he's going to see where your heart is. And he's going to see if you're willing to give when he asks you to give. I don't know. Lord, don't let me be tested over this. But sometimes he will ask us for something, and then sometimes he asks us to wait and be patient and trust him. You know, wait upon the Lord, the Bible says. There's another that says, be still and know that I am God. And being still instead of running and frantically trying to. And sometimes we as women want to control everything. And if we can't get it under our own control, we're fretting. But you have to be careful with control because it's very similar to witchcraft. And so you have to say, Lord, I surrender.
Yes.
All to Jesus, I surrender. The song says, all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him and in his presence daily live. And you just go on to sing it, I surrender all.
Yes.
I surrender all to you, my blessed Savior. I surrender. And there's times we have to surrender things. My son told this weekend, and I don't even know how it popped up, and I wound up telling this, and he learned about it. He said, I didn't even know this till recently. But when I was about, he said 17, but really I think I was about 14, I loved roller skating. I loved it as a kid. I had some of those little skates that your shoe fit in, yep, and you turn the key and clamped around the sole of your foot and the strap, you know. And we just didn't have anywhere to skate except up at the school. But we had the church, and the church had a cement floor. And I would beg Mama to let me go skate in the church, and she wouldn't let me go skating because I was just a little kid, you know. But at 14, I had been going to the roller rink in Oklahoma City. And they would have, I don't remember anybody. I remember being dropped off. I don't remember if I had a friend with me or what. I don't guess I did. But anyway, I went quite a few times. And the Lord asked me to give that up. He asked me in prayer one day if I would give up the. And I look back now and realize there was a time you had to get off because they had couple skates. And I would like, well, nobody's asked me. Of course, I was just a little kid. Nobody's asking me to skate. And I look back now and go, had someone started asking me to skate, I might fail for somebody, you know, back that I wasn't supposed to be with. I didn't know if that was part of it. But I just know the Lord in the altar one day when I was praying said, would you give me your skating? And so I surrendered my skating to the Lord. Well, I went down then when I was 16. I went to Granite to visit a friend named Vita. And guess what the church was doing? They were having a skating party. And so I remember keeping my vow to the Lord and standing on the side while the other kids skated. I stayed over in the area where you didn't have skates on. And what I didn't know was the young man running the skating rink was named Thilbert Gifford. And he noticed me standing on the side away from the crowd. When I got to church the next day, he was there. And then all of us went as a group to run around, and somewhere in there I had met him, then got to meet him down at the drugstore. She introduced me to him, and then he told her to tell me to write him, and I sat here, his widow, and remarried to a wonderful man of God. But anyway, when God asks you, the point I'm making, when God asks you to give up something, he's got something better for you.
Amen.
Or he is protecting you. He's protecting you from something that is going to harm you, or something that's, when God says no, it's for protection. So there'll be times when God says no to you. There's times when God has said wait to me. And I wrote that little poem. Y'all have heard it. Would you mind if I say it again?
Please do.
It'll hurt you out if I say it again.
Please do.
Okay, you said, waiting. Waiting is the hardest thing to do, especially when it seems the answer will not come through. When you've waited and waited, and then once more, you wait for God to open the door. You look for the answer first right, then left. Yet all along you know you must go straight ahead. I've waited on God many days past, and I'm still waiting. But I know at last when the time is really completely right, when I quit fretting but continue to fight. God will come through. He'll come through for me, bringing sweet hope, joy, and victory. So with me, will you join as I wait on God, as I put my hand in his, as we walk this sod, as I give and fast and go yet wait. Dreaming of the day there'll be no delay. Together we'll stand a united force, waiting for God to open the doors. He will. Mm-hmm. He will. I know it's true. And I'll walk into victory right beside you. Mm. Such a beautiful promise. I had gone to the altar that night that God gave me that poem. And I had said, Lord, because we had had a four-year sabbatical. We had been pastors in Oklahoma, pastors in Colorado. We came home to Oklahoma in 1981. And this was about 1985. And we were still on our sabbatical. We had 4 years of waiting and doing other things. Well, I was ready to get back in ministry. So I went to the altar, and this is what I said to the Lord. Lord, is there anywhere on this earth that you could use Stillbird and I? Is there anywhere that you could use us in ministry? And so I came home, and the Lord gave me that poem, and I know it's from God because I don't write poetry. I mean, I was trying at the time to be Helen Stinner Rice. You know who she is? She even has a book of poetry. She's wonderful. And her or Tennyson, I am not. So I knew that was from the Lord. Well, it wasn't very long until we got a call, and they were asking us to come down to Granite to try out to. And so we were there 6 years in Granite as pastors that church. My sons grew up there in high school. Brent went to Hobart High School. He married Melissa. Not till after Thilbert passed away did it dawn on me one day why we had a waiting period, why we had a sabbatical from 81 to 85 in full-time ministry. It dawned on me, what did Thilbert do during those years? In 4 years, he built 5 houses. Those 4 years, he had 2 little boys roofing, building, learning how to build. We've got a church down here on 5th and Main because those 2 little boys learned how to build, and they built that church. Brad helped, and Brent directed it all, you know, as the general contractor, and God worked a couple of pretty good significant miracles that could be there. But I thought, God was setting my kid's future. Mm-hmm. He was setting my kid's future. And yet here, toward the last of it, I was really getting discontent. Sometimes God does pull some of the feathers out of our nest to get us ready to move and get us ready to go to the next step. But looking back now, I see God's hand was in it all. And even in this portion of my life, this season of my life, I looked at Aaron just recently says, why do I have to walk through this? And as if he knows, you know, I'm just overwhelmed at the moment. Because there's times to them telling you got 2 months to live. And them saying, you know, there's no hope, but you can take this medicine. But this is what is the very common serious side effects. It'll affect your heart. It'll affect your lungs. It'll affect your retina. And it'll affect everything very seriously. And then these are the non-serious things. You'll lose your hair, you'll have diarrhea, you'll have all these things are telling you're going. I think maybe death is better than that. I mean, going on to heaven might be a little better than all that. Maybe just trusting God and going ahead and I mean, like, you have to take some medications, you know, that's necessary, but waiting on God. When you don't know, when you can't see. But I have been singing this song several times, and I've been singing it with a nursing home. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. You know, this word is so powerful. If we could really believe it, if we could really grasp it, how easy it would be to get anything from God, because it says, if you can believe, Jesus said. Can you believe? If you can believe, nothing is impossible to him who can't believe. Why can't we believe? A lot of reasons sometimes. Sometimes we're not in the Word. Sometimes we compare other people. Well, they were good Christians and they died. Sometimes we're not worthy of God. You know what I mean? We can do all kinds of stuff to keep ourselves from actually believing. But you sing that song and you just trust him. and you wait, and you wait on the Lord. And then you take his word and it holds you. There's been times, now, I was telling them the other night, my Thilbert, and I'm sure Aaron's probably a lot like this too, because they were pastors. They're deliberate studiers of the word of God. Mm. You go through, and my Thilbert was a studier every morning, get up, go in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right like this. Right through the word of God. You read it, and then you go through it, and you read it again, and study it, and then study for preaching and all that. And I am a, open it, look, here's what's today. Oh, let's go over here to see what is there. Oh, what does this say here? my husband said, don't do that. It could say, go hang yourself. So, don't do that. But I love the word of God. And when I was thinking, when you called me, I was thinking, what can I say? And it came, after I was praying, I was thinking, some of the Psalms and some of the things, Psalms probably is my favorite. I love Isaiah, too. I love Isaiah 41. God gave this to us in a very strategic time in our life. And it's funny how he'll send the messages through other people. But he sent this scripture through my mom one day, and it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 41:10. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my with the right hand of my righteousness, King James says. Or other people just say, my righteous right hand. If you'll notice, God mentions in the word his right hand a whole lot. His right hand means he's moving in the situation. When he gets his right hand involved in it, he's straightening things out. He's moving the situation. He's grabbing a hold of it. So he said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, his righteousness is going to hold us when we're faced with something that is life and death. And we're faced with something we don't know how to cope with. And we're faced with something that we're just totally dismayed with the situation. And every one of us have been there. There's not one of us that haven't had a situation that seemed as though it was life and death. It may not have been cancer, but it was something involved somebody you love very much. And maybe it was life and death for them. Whatever. But that scripture is there. And you can go to it every time the enemy would come in like a flood. But you get those scriptures, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord comes in. The enemy would come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord lifts a standard against him. Hallelujah. Amen. And I love that standard that the Lord lives. It says, Jeremiah 33:3 has been one of my favorite. It's helped me so long. Call unto me. Call unto me, and I will help thee. Call unto me, and I will listen to you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, then it tells us, I have plans for you, saith the Lord. Plans you don't even know about, but you're going to come and pray to me, and I'm going to listen to you. And you're going to find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, the word of God. Oh, how precious it is. Oh, how it lifts me. Sometimes just before I go to sleep, I'll open the word, and it'll say something to me. It'll just strengthen me. One day, I just felt so hassled, and I opened the scripture, and it just said, you're mine. Whew, that's enough.
Yep.
I sleep on that.
That's it.
You're mine. I used to keep it right at my bed. I'd read it every night just before I go to sleep. Now I keep it just sitting there close to the bed. You have tissue. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But if the word of God is, Bible says it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It goes down to a dividing of the soul and the spirit. Yes. How can you divide that? I don't even know. It seems like to me the same thing. So how do you divide the soul and the spirit? It goes down to the joints and the marrow of the bone. Oh, how much cancer patients need if they're taking chemo, because it kills the marrow of the bone. It kills their marrow. And one doctor told me, and it stops the growth of the marrow. And then they have to have a bone marrow replacement. And there's just so much that chemo does. I actually was trying to decide whether to take this really strong medication. They weren't calling it chemo, but was a form of chemo. Anyway, and I'm just trying to make this decision because the medicine is $15,000 a bottle. And somehow, without me asking or really wanting to, they sent it to my house free. And so I'm like, Lord, what should I do? How am I going to go to church without hair? How am I going to handle being sick and throwing up? They already called me. Are you throwing up? Are you sick? Do you need any medicines for throwing up sick? So they know that you're going to be throwing up and you're going to be sick that way. That's the minor things. You know, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm losing my thought here because I got off on medicine. What was I saying?